Bonjour, Nende Noé Magani Dog. Beshiko Benesia Que Indigo, Mang Indu Dame, Ga Osa Squajime Cog and Dunjaba, Ga Mesqua Wako Cog Ninda, Elaine Fleming Nindishin Akas. Hello, my relatives. My spirit name is One Thunderbird Woman. That's the name that the universe knows me by. And I am with the Loon Clan. I am an enrolled member of Leech Lake Nation. I am also a resident of Cass Lake, Minnesota, and that's what we call Gamesquawakokog, the place where there were red trees, red cedar trees. That cedar is so important to us. It's that medicine, and it's tea with lots of vitamin C in it. And the smudge, it's so important to us. The cedar tree, the land is important to us. The four elements of a nation. Language and culture, land base, history, and governance. Leech Lake Nation, we're in a period of nation building now. I've been talking about Shenaushkung, he rattles, that's what his name meant. He was also known as Chief Bemidji to the settlers and to the people who live in Bemidji today. He was born around 1834 and he died in 1904. His 70 years of life were filled with trauma and loss for the Ojibwe. Historical trauma is carried in one's body, and this trauma is passed on in a generational manner. Historical events in the three eras in which he lived affected his wellness, spiritual, emotional, physical, and intellectual wellness. And it's not just of a person, it's of an entire people. In our case, this is history of Leech Lake. In newspaper accounts of Shenaushkung, he's reported as being a man of peace, well-liked by the settlers of Bemidji. In 1883, he and his family and other castes in Leech Lake Ojibwe made their first permanent settlement on the south shore of Lake Bemidji. An elder and spokesman for the group, he welcomed the first white settlers to the Bemidji area in 1888. When Shenaushkung shared the name of the lake, Bemidji Gamag, which means water moving sideways along the shore, the settlers thought he was sharing his name, so they mistakenly named the new village after him, Bemidji, rather than his actual name of Shenaushkung. Later, he petitioned to remain on his land in Bemidji, but was forced to remove to his allotment on the Catholic Reservation in 1903. And this had to do with the Burlington Railroad coming into Bemidji. During that time, when they did the survey, it went right through his house, and so he would have to be removed. He was removed to his allotment on the Cass Lake Reservation in 1903, and he died in 1904 of pneumonia on his allotment land. He had hoped that he would be buried on his land in Bemidji, but he wasn't. And we're really not quite sure where he is buried. Although the settlers said they buried him in a graveyard in Bemidji, it's not really known if that's the truth, Deboiwin, or whether or not he might be buried in the Medewin graveyard here on Lake Andrusia, on Leech Lake Reservation, north of Cass Lake. Anyway, he lived through these three eras, and the last era that he lived through was the assimilation era of 1871 to 1934. And at that time, we were experiencing these historical loss symptoms, poverty, disease, dependence on annuities. And we had become even more poverty-ridden because of what was going on. They were taking our land through the 1887 Dawes Allotment Act. There were 60,000 Minnesota constituents at the time who wanted the Ojibwe reservations open to settlement and assimilation of the Ojibwe people. So this congressman named Newt Nelson, he wanted to increase state revenue through taxation by closing the reservations and having us all removed to White Earth. And so they passed this Allotment Act, which granted 80 acres of Ojibwe heads, granted 80 acres to Ojibwe heads of households, 40 acres of maple sugar trees, and 40 acres of land for farming. The result was a weakened tribal structure, loss of land and resources, and poverty, disease, and despondency, historical loss symptoms. The surplus land was made available for public sale, and during that time across the United States, the whites acquired two-thirds of the remaining indigenous American lands by 1932. Today, indigenous Americans hold 4.2% of the land in the U.S., and of the original 864,158 acres on Leech Lake, only 43,000 acres, or 5%, remain in trust for the Leech Lake Band. So, 1887, the Carson brothers established a trading post on Lake Bemidji. And it was that year of 1888 when Shaynaushkung greeted the pioneers to Lake Bemidji. He was considered an elder and a spokesman for the Ojibwe living in the area. And that's when he was mistakenly called Chief Bemidji. Shaynaushkung also built a log cabin between Lakes Bemidji and Irving, a mile east of the Mississippi River. In 1889, the Nelson Act, which was called an Act for the Civilization and Relief of the Minnesota Chippewa, had the purpose to implement the 1887 Allotment Act and to get the Ojibwe to remove to the White Earth Reservation, allowing the remaining reservation lands to open up for cession and purchase by non-Indigenous Americans. Shaynaushkung said in response to the commission, quote, "I wish you would listen in pity to my words for only a few moments. You see that I am now nothing but a corpse, but I will try to speak my mind to you. How shall we subsist when you have anchored us there? How shall we manage to get ahead so that we can become self-supporting?" End quote. And he was speaking about being removed to White Earth because other treaties had been made and broken. And that's when we talk again about Manaji Itiwin, about respect to the Ojibwe people. And so then we, in response, we began to disrespect our own leaders and to blame them for the things that the settlers, the colonists, were doing to us. And he was asking, okay, so if we remove to White Earth, what? How are we supposed to live there? Because promises had been made in the past that had not been kept. So the Ojibwe, they responded to the Minnesota Chippewa Commission in 1889. And they, the Minnesota Chippewa Commission, were leading the negotiations for the Nelson Act. The Ojibwe said before they would discuss the Nelson and Allotment Act, they demanded the commission address the back matters. And they included compensation for the loss of nearly a million acres of land in the 1847 treaty, flooding of the land by the dams, and irregular or non-payment of annuities. It was during that time that the federal dam on Leech Lake was completed, 1889. It flooded 78 square miles of Ojibwe land. Leech Lake became the third largest reservoir in Minnesota. Eyabents, a Cassock Ojibwe, said, "No one knows the number of graves in this condition. Covering of the graves and the coffins have drifted out into the lake. The cemeteries are now just as level as this ground here. Nothing to show what was there. We bring this to your attention, although I don't think it would be of any use now, as the bones are all scattered. The skulls are here and there, all along the shore." And so this was a Ojibwe response to the Minnesota Chippewa Commission in 1889 about the 1889 Nelson Act. So, miigwech for listening for a little bit more about the history of Leech Lake. Miigwech bis an dawi eag miigwech miu.